You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the Bow Hunter Planet podcast, your gateway to the wonderful world of archery and bow hunting. The Bow Hunter Planet podcast would like to thank our outdoor partners for their support. It's because of these companies we can keep this show educating, entertaining, and growing the archery heritage. Please check out these partners' links in the description of this podcast. Now, your hosts, Tim and Dave. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, welcome to the Bow Hunter Planet podcast. Myself, Dave Thomas. Like, Tim could not make it, which is fine, but Brandon's gonna be a little bit pissed. But then again, it's kind of like Brandon is co-hosting this with me, so it's kind of fun. It's like we're just gonna hang out and do our thing. So Brandon Adams, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, man. Running around like a crazy person during the holidays, but doing good.
I feel like it's always like that during the holidays. Like even today I had to run the UPS. My wife said, I need you to take these back. And I was shipping a bow to a friend for his kid. And I ended up going, she hands me like 15 items. I'm like, what? And there's like all these boxes and all these codes from Amazon. And the guy's scanning them. I'm like, oh my God, like I'm going to be here all day. You should see me getting in there. Packages, I'm kicking them in.
Dude, I don't even... My wife and I, you know, we're building a new house, and I'm sure you're the same way. I think you're, are you building as well?
No, I've already passed all that. I don't want to ever do it again.
I will do it again. Mine's, in fact, we're not done yet, but it's for sale if you're interested. I'll finish it for you. No, we've bought so much freaking crap in the last 2 weeks, you know, for the house and plus for the holidays. We were trying to track down a receipt today, and it was just a nightmare, you know, and then boxes were showing up, having to get someone signatures, and it's just, well, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's so funny. Hey, a hat's pretty cool you got there, AJJ hat. I'm loving it.
Yeah, man, this has been a lucky hat this year. Nice. I'm a big, yeah.
Do you shoot HHA?
I do, yeah. We got, we shoot their sights and also their stabilizers, so been shooting HHA for a while, actually.
Yeah, I just got, Chris just sent me a box 2 days ago, and it's got their 2022 stuff in it.
Yeah.
And there's really nothing in there. It was just a couple of products, right? And I'm like, if I text him, I'm like, is this like 2022 stuff? What is this? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. It's just like a box with some like loose stuff. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm looking at right now, but it looked pretty sweet. I'm actually really excited for them. I think it's going to be something that I think people are going to like. It sounds like they're launching that. What is today? Should be coming up here in a week or two, I think. So that'd be exciting. I'll try to get something on that. And, but anyway, so how's your season been going?
Man, I have been killing it. Very, very fortunate this year to have had the success personally that I've had. And then plus the My World team is, I've been in the industry for like 14, 15 years now, been part of like some pro staffs and some teams. And I've never been a part of a team that has had such a good of year with such as good as footage on such giant deer as we have this year. And so I'm pretty stoked to be able to share that with everyone here coming up soon.
Wow, that's cool. I'm looking at this video you guys have on your, or you have on your page specifically, and it's with this decoy. And this buck coming up on it. Oh my gosh. What kind of decoy is this?
The decoy on my bow is an Ultimate Predator Gear. It straps to your bow with like some Velcro straps. And it is an absolute, like, to me, it's going to be a part of my rut hunting tool belt for the rest of my life. It's going to be something I do forever.
That's crazy.
The decoy I have in front of me is it's a Boss Buck. I did a little customization on it. I did a little paint job, made it look a little more detail on it. But that whole setup with the lockdown, it's a lockdown buck is what, lockdown spread. That's what I'm going to do in the future during the rut. In fact, I'm going to Mississippi.
Going to
Mississippi next week, and it's going to be the rut. And I'm doing that, basically the whole time. I'll probably get in the tree first few hunts just to get my feet wet, but that's how I'm going to try to kill a deer.
Dude, that is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. It's like strapped right to your bow. I can't wait to share this picture. Yep. This is like crazy, like so cool.
It's one of the craziest experiences I've ever experienced bow hunting.
How'd you learn of that product? I never seen that.
One of my really good friends, he's kind of a mentor, but I call him, a friend. He calls me his little brother. He's like a big brother to me, it feels like. Danny Ferris uses that. Well, he's a owner of that company, actually, Ultimate Predator Gear. And he has been trying to convince me to do this in the whitetail woods for years. And I was convinced that I was going to do it last year, and then I had some stuff happened that I wasn't able to get it in a lot of rut hunts, and especially with as much time as I was wanting to put in. But so this year I decided to dedicate some time to implementing this tactic, and I credit all Danny's doing.
Dude, that thing has got to be one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
So the deer coming into you, like, it's, I equate it to reaping for turkeys, right? You remember when reaping was not a thing, right? where no one did it, and whenever you seen someone do it or someone talked about it, you were just like, you didn't believe them, basically. This to me is the exact same thing. I think in 5 years, I think this will be a very popular tactic for whitetail deer.
So are you on your feet or on your knees when you take that shot?
I'm sitting on my butt right there.
Oh, you're on a chair of some sort?
No, just my butt. I have a little pad, like a 2-inch. Yeah. But like Danny, he uses one of them fold out turkey chairs that, you're like this high off the ground. That's what Danny uses, in his strategy. So
let's talk about Oklahoma a little bit. I see a lot of these videos on here are from Oklahoma. Obviously you're from Oklahoma, but my question is, cause I've never hunted out Oklahoma. I don't know the way it looks there and stuff. Is the video where the buck comes in on that decoy and you shoot it, is that what Oklahoma looks like for the backdrop? Like short trees?
It depends on where you're at. Oklahoma, actually, I implore you to go to our YouTube page and watch Slammed. It's a 90-minute film I put together a couple years ago. It's about me chasing the 5 big game animals in Oklahoma, all with a bow. And I'm not just saying this because I'm from Oklahoma, but Oklahoma is truly a diverse state. We got big mountains in southeast with big pine and oak forest. I'm talking about mountains, 3,000 foot from the bottom to top and higher. And then, of course, the plains, what everyone thinks of, and the cross timbers where the big pine woods meet the open plains in the middle. And then in southwestern Oklahoma, we got big elk herds and phenomenal elk hunting. In the Ouachita Mountains, or the Wichita Mountains. It's just, it's a very diverse state. Where you're looking at on those videos where that buck's coming in, that's classic Western Oklahoma terrain there, where you got canyons, cedars, cottonwoods. That particular property is just west of the city, Oklahoma City. And so it does have some oak trees in it, but it has the same terrain features as most of Western Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. It reminded me a little bit of Texas. That's the only reason I brought it up. And Right. I remember it's a little different than that, but like, I still remember the shorter trees and the kind of more open plain. And, you know, if from Michigan, we do a lot of tree stand hunting here and ground blind, and tree stand the biggest thing. And so for us, it's always been, you know, 20-foot tree stands and hang-ons, you know, ladders, you name it. But it's all tall forest here. You know, you go through, it's all 30, 40, 50, 60 feet, you know, of tree, which makes it different because it's all flat too, so we don't have the hill advantages at all to play on, so we have to get in the air or get into a ground blind, because otherwise they see us in a heartbeat. But that's why I'm looking at your thing there and thinking that's a great idea, that decoy, you know, try something like that.
Well, the thing is with that decoy is you don't have to use that in just western environments. I just came from Kentucky, and you know, it's Midwestern, you know, a lot of people can relate to farmland in Kentucky. I did that for a week. Now, unfortunately, I didn't have any, you know, mature deer see it. I had a lot of younger deer, which they came in. I am wholeheartedly convinced that if a mature deer sees that setup and he's by himself, he will come in. Like, I think it's going to be close to 100% of the time.
It's funny because I actually experienced that same thing in real life when I was in Ohio hunting one time. I was in a tree stand and I was just filming, and the guy I was filming, I couldn't get in the stand with him. So he ended up having a solo film using like Tacticams or something. I can't remember, but he's like, you can't get in this tree with me. There's no time. You just go find somewhere to sit. And so I went down the hill, sat in this tree, and no joke, what you just did there was the actual scenario in front of me. So I had a huge buck and a doe and another buck just coming in, trying to get to this doe. And they kept like, not fighting, but kind of like they would just kind of just follow each other. So I see exactly what was going to happen there. And I agree with you 100%. I have no doubt in my mind that that is going to work almost every single time. And right in front of me, the real thing played out. So I know it would work, you know, and the funny part is you're using two decoys, you know, it's hilarious.
Well, you're making a spread. That's the way I look at it, is you're making like you would put, you know, geese decoys out to make a spread or duck decoy. That's what you're doing. You're setting a scene. And a buck this time of year, even this time of year, is looking for a doe, right? If a buck does not have a doe, he's looking for a doe. And when he comes into an opening and he sees a buck standing there, because that's going to catch his eye first, because the buck is out in the open 5-10 yards in front of you. He sees that out in the opening, and then he sees that doe that's moving because it's you in the brush. I mean, everything is sold.
Instant.
And that's what he's looking for. That's where he's going. And then whenever he's coming into you, you ain't got to worry about him seeing you move or whatever, because that you're supposed to be moving, right? If you're not moving, it's probably going to be weird. And so you can could be hanging out, you know, kind of like looking around, making sure bigger buck's not coming in. And then, of course, drawing. I mean, you could do it right in front of his face at 15 yards.
Wow.
I'm so fun, man.
When you learned about it, was there guys already doing it that you saw videos of as well? Because I've never seen that before until I just saw your video.
Just Danny. Danny's the only one that I've and I have no, they're not a partner of mine. I don't have any interest in the company.
Yeah.
Danny's he's the only person I've seen do it, and I trust him. He told me this is the real deal. And so I tried it, and now it's, like I said, it's freaking part of what I do.
The only thing I don't like about it is I feel like I would want to be on extreme private land to do it, just because of other hunters seeing me, you know, like shooting towards me, or I would not do it in gun season for sure. But I, you know, I would think that you have to be very secure with where you're at, I guess, is what I was
going
to.
I'm going to Mississippi and Louisiana. I'm actually hunting with a buddy on a club on the Mississippi River. And I'm going to use this tactic, and I think I'm going to put a orange vest around. I call him Ross, Ross the boss buck. I'm going to put an orange vest around Ross. That way, no one fires a pop shot at me. So,
yeah, that's funny. Yeah, exactly. Though I got to be careful, man. You just don't know what the hell you're going to come up against.
This is true.
So I'm looking through your videos too, and I see this, and I don't know, I'm assuming this is from this year, but it says 10-year-old's first deer. What's this all about?
That particular video is my daughter's first deer from last year. Cool. If you have time, it's kind of a longer video, especially for what I normally put on Instagram. I definitely watch it. It's an incredible video for her, of her overcoming a lot of fear and doubt, because earlier that week she had missed her first deer, you know, her first opportunity. And this deer's coming in, and actually I'm standing in my yard right now. It's about where all this happened, is about 120 yards behind me, nice. Which is cool for me, but she was reluctant and afraid to pull the trigger. And I don't know if you watch it, I have subtitles on there so you can hear what everything's being said. It's just pretty impressive that she was able to overcome that and, you know, and get it done. So I'm proud of her.
Yeah,
that.
That's cool. And yeah, then I always love seeing that. It's the best.
Right. 2 days. Yeah, it is the best. I have two girls. I have a 13, almost 14, and that 11-year-old. And getting to take them out is something that's definitely become part of my fall. And I absolutely love it, because they're becoming their own little humans and everything. And I'm proud of them. So, but Brooke, she got a big old doe just a couple days ago. So nice. I was, and self just like a pro. I was
how much land are you hunting on there?
On this particular piece of small acreage, it's where my house is in central Oklahoma. That's 25 acres just outside of Oklahoma City. So
nice. What kind of temperature right now?
It's super cold. It's like 74 degrees at dark. Yeah, it's pretty cold right now. No, we do have a front coming in. It's gonna be 20s and, you know, highs of the 30s tomorrow. So
oh, okay. So you guys, it's pretty similar to Michigan then at that point. That's well, yeah, what we are here all the time.
Yeah. I bet you the normal high for now is probably in the 50s, if I had to guess.
Yeah, something. Now, when is the, you know, we were talking earlier, just messing around about tornadoes, but when is that season? Is that in spring or summer?
It's generally in the spring. We normally have a little spike in the fall, and this year it seemed like it was a big spike, because we have a piece of property in western Oklahoma, and in the middle of October we had one hunt where we were there for 2 days, and there was like six tornadoes within 20 miles of us. Wow. In a 2 day, it was freaking insane. So that's kind of abnormal for October, but normally it's in, you know, April, May. So
yeah, that's crazy. So Oklahoma, I'm assuming, and this is just stereotyping right now, but I'm assuming you like Garth Brooks.
yeah, definitely.
You're like, everybody likes Garth Brooks here. What do you mean?
Yeah, you don't like Garth Brooks? Yeah, what do you mean? I don't understand the question.
You know, it's funny, actually. I watched his video, and it was Will Smith, and he said he was with I forgot the guy's name. He's a really popular TV show host. What's his name? He does all the singing with like Ed Sheeran and all those guys. He's British. But anyway, they're driving and there's this wedding, and he goes, you think if you went in there, people know who you are? He goes, are you kidding me? And he's like, but they're all white people. He goes, all white people love Will Smith. He goes, watch this. He gets high, goes right through the whole wedding. Everybody's like, oh my God. Oh my God. They're like chasing him, and it was the funniest shit. And I'm like, oh my God. And then he comes back. He's like, I told you, he's got cake and shit. He's like, I told you, everybody loves Will Smith. Are you kidding me? Men in Black.
Yeah.
Oh, so funny. I was like, dang. Yeah. Yeah, but that's the same with Garth Brooks. I feel like everybody loves Garth Brooks, even from here all the way across the world, you know.
Garth Brooks, like, he kind of, especially in the 90s, I'm not very old, but I mean, I remember the 90s a little bit. And I remember Garth Brooks kind of transcending everything. And, I still feel like today he's kind of, you know, mega famous. So
yeah, he was different than everybody, you know. He you could see that he was a true entertainer on top of, but a real person. And I felt like that was always the thing about Garth Brooks that people, you know, caught on to the most, is just that this dude's like real deal. Like, he's out here, he loves doing what he's doing. Like, this isn't like just somebody wants to come out here and get a paycheck. This guy is like into it, just like you're into bow hunting. This guy is into, you know what I mean? Like, you could see right through that. And that's the other thing people always talk about. It's like, when you're good at something, and you're good at something, you're good at it. You know, it's like, you don't care about the money. You don't care about the level. You just do it because you love doing it. It's a big difference, I think, when you see it from that perspective. But anything could be attributed to that. You know, it could be hunting, it could be fishing, it could be whatever. But I don't know. But that's pretty cool, man. Yeah, that's cool. That you ever see him around town? He lives there, doesn't he, still?
He lives in, he doesn't live here. You know, he was
brought, somewhere.
I live east of the city. He lives, not here. I think he lives up in Tulsa, that area. Yeah, him and I aren't best friends. I can't text him right now. So maybe next year we'll see.
Yeah, we got Eminem, we got Kid Rock, and we got we have Tim Allen and Jeff Daniels actually. So all those guys live in Michigan somewhere. I know Eminem actually lives very close to me, but not too close, but close. Because he's actually kind of a smart guy. He chose to live in a gated community that's a big community. Obviously his house is mammoth, but the people around him aren't that big. You know what I mean? They're rich people, super rich people, but not like, he's not living in the areas you would assume, put it that way.
Yeah. I got you. Cool.
He used to live around the block from here. His first house he ever bought when he became a rapper is literally down the street from here. This is hilarious. And he's a big guy, man. He doesn't mess around. He doesn't seem very nice though, but you know.
Is that what you said?
What was that?
You said he doesn't seem very nice.
Nah, I don't think if you saw him on the street, he would be like, "Hey, how's it going?" I don't think so. I think he'd be like, "Get the hell away from me." I think Kid Rock would be nice, but I don't think Eminem would. Anyhow, so tell me about what's going on with your bow rig. You mentioned Hoyt earlier. Are you excited for what's coming? Do you know what's coming? What's the situation over there?
I am so excited about my current rig, and I'm not just saying this. People that know me know that I'm not just saying this. My current bow hunting rig right now is, it's either number one or like 1A or 1B all-time favorite bow hunting rigs. And I do not say that flippantly. Like, I mean that. I'm shooting Hoyt RX5, the Ultra. I like a longer bow. I think it's 35 axle to axle. And then plus them big cams that even acts like a longer bow. It is one of the best holding, drawing, shooting, hunting bows I've ever shot, period. I like a heavy bow too. And so I got weights. I got the HTA stabilizer systems with as much weight as I can on it. I actually have a GoPro that goes on the front of my bow too, which is even more weight. I like a big heavy bow. I live out here in the plains, and so we get a lot of wind. You know, I want a bow that's going to fight that wind with me. So
what color is your bow?
It is like buckskin, you know, like that brown color.
Oh, nice.
It's called buckskin. It's like this color right here.
So yeah, it's sweet. Yeah, it looks really good. I think they sent me the buckskin one in carbon. I think that was the one they sent, but that was a great shooting bow, man. They've always had that going on, you know, and I told them that from the beginning. Back in the day when they were making the first carbon bows and they were running them over with F-150s, I was like, dude, this thing looks sick. And the one thing Hoyt has always done well with their carbon, in my opinion, is it just, you know, you and I were talking about that Mercedes concept car. And the concept with that car was they built it. It was supposed to be a breathable, like Avatar, the movie, like it's supposed to be part of the environment. Well, this carbon RX5 looks like that to me. It looks like it's part of an environment. It looks like a root system, in my opinion, that's coming through trees. I just love it. I think what they've done with it is just genius over the years. And I'm happy they still do it. And, you know, people, I mean, the thing about this bow, and a lot of people will say this like in our comments when we do our Tesla videos about these carbon bows, mainly the carbons, but the price, right? They always say, oh, $1,700, blah, blah, blah. But I would challenge that and say, first off, material like that is going to be super expensive to get. And I know that for a fact, because I've done purchasing in my lifetime. So material that's carbon related, that's specifically engineered and tooled the way this is twisted and all that, I'm sure is not cheap to get their hands on. But the other thing is, think about the crossbows and how much money they've gone to, man. Like a normal crossbow, it's high level right now, is $2,000 and up, you know, I mean, to four grand, like $2,000 to $4,000. So really, I mean, if you love the sport and you love and you want to spend money on it, why not? If you're a golfer, you'll spend $2,000 on a club. You'll spend $2,000 on a tennis racket if you're serious, you know, if you're serious what you do. You know what I mean? So it just comes down to how much you're really going to use it.
People that are saying that about a $1,700 MSRP are people that are not going out there and hunting, you know,
correct,
6 days a year and having success year in and year out. I mean, I'm just being honest. They're not, that's not the people saying that. And plus, when you buy bows if you buy both $1,500, and then you rig it out, you know, you got another $1,000 in it. If you're a normal person, you're going to use that and you take care of it. You're going to use that for many years to come. So,
yeah, you know, for sure.
And then plus, I mean, if you're also a normal person or at least a, you could do one of two things where you could use it for many years, or you could flip that bow every single year and always have, and always have the newest and best by, you know, selling it on the second market. So
you're not losing a ton of money on it either. Generally,
no, you're not losing money. So basically after that point, you're paying a couple $100 for a new bow every year.
Yeah. That's, and the thing about those, it's kind of like, the thing is, Hoyt's not the only one doing this, right? Like other companies have carbon bows that are that much money. And so it's not like this is like, oh, they're the only ones doing it and it's so expensive. But the thing about it is Hoyt does have other options. So it's not like this is it, like $1,700, take it or leave it. They got bows like the Torx, you know, and this bow's $800 MSRP. The Ventum 30, which is along the lines of a Matthews price, $1,300, you know. So they have a ton of stuff, and I hate when people just assume, you know, one thing on these things. You know, the whole point of it is they have a lineup. I wouldn't say they're as broad as Bear Archery or one of those who have a ton of $100 different bows, but I would say that if you want a Hoyt, and when I was a kid, Hoyt was one of the biggest brands ever made. You know, Martin Hoyt, Darton at the time when I was a kid, you know, I remember all that. And I just remember going in there, and there's the Cheetah from Martin, and there was this Hoyt Ultra, you know, and you're just like, oh, what do I do? You know what I mean? Like, you're like, what do I do? And I remember that the feeling was amazing, but I still feel that way about Hoyt. When I see a Hoyt and I see the name, I just, it brings back that memory of, man, these guys were always like one of the top tier bows, you know? And they literally,
when it comes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh no, go ahead.
But when it comes to bows in particular, what I'm about to compare it to is very similar, which is vehicles, like trucks, like whether you're a Ford guy, Chevy guy, GMC guy. In my opinion, I've shot a lot of bows over the years, been fortunate to shoot a lot of bows in my time in the industry. The top 4, 5, 6 bows out there, their flagship bows are good bows every single year. And it comes down to you. It comes down to like what you want, you know, what your preference is. Like for me, that 35-inch bow with them big cams, like just fits me right. It just feels freaking amazing. And so I'm going to be reluctant to go back to a 29-inch bow because I remember what that long bow feels like, you know, because I mean, like I was a Matthews boy growing up, and my all-time favorite bow is the Matthews LX, which I think was a 36-inch bow, you know. And so like I like that feel. My point is that it all comes down to personal feel or personal preference, and you just have to get out there and shoot as many as you can. When it comes down, it comes time to make a $1,500 purchase or more. Actually, it'll be more when you're done. But you know, you got to shoot them all. Make sure that you got the one that fits right with you. Well, what no matter what brand it is, I support people hunting. I don't care what they have in their hands.
Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't matter. I always thought that's funny because people they get so like angry about these brands. I'm like, dude.
Yeah,
like it all works, bro. Like it's not, you know, it's not like one's better than the other. It's really preference. It always has been, and it always will be. It's just, you know, all I ask people to do is don't let marketing fool you. Don't let marketing tell you what to do. Just get the data, go to the store and buy it. You know what I mean? Or shoot it and then buy based on what you thought was the best. The worst you could do is take people's advice and only buy, you know, what they deem is the best, or you know, that's the worst thing you can possibly do. It's terrible.
Coming from a man that's been marketing for the last 15 years in this industry, yes, go out there. You know, if you respect someone, you know, I try not to lie. So there's a few people like me out there in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, listen, you know, maybe listen to that person, but then go out there and test it for yourself and see what you think. So
Brian, this so for people to find your videos right now, I know you obviously have your Instagram and I'll link that below for everybody, but you do have your My World Outdoors on YouTube, which is, you guys got a ton of content on here. Look, you say you do a lot of this editing yourself, actually?
All these videos? Do every second of that, of those videos I've done myself. Yes.
Are you using, what do you use to edit? Like, are you Adobe guy or Final Cut?
I'm Adobe now. I made the switch to Adobe probably man, probably been 2014, so 6 years ago. And the reason why I switched to Adobe back then was I was with Final Cut. I was using Final Cut and all the Apple suite. And I had to rewrap all of my files. And so I had to convert all of my files in order for Final Cut to read them. And at the time, it was MTS files. And it was just super, super annoying having to touch all these files like three times before I actually could edit them. And so I made the switch to Adobe, who could handle those files natively, and have been using it ever since. So there, I will say this about Apple. Their product, all of their software is extremely intuitive. Like, I loved Final Cut. I loved Motion, to do motion graphics in. Where if you thought that something should be in a certain spot, like I need to do this, what would I do, you know, to, I don't know, like, yeah, do this? It would be like where you thought it would be, right? That was great. But what Adobe has over Apple is it's all the third-party plugins and effects and all these other things that you can do with Adobe. So, and at the time, you could do a lot of different, it supported a lot of different types of video. So a lot more different video.
So generally when you film, are you guys filming in like a LUT 3 or something, or, and then you're adding color later, or do you film in color?
No, I do all the color correction in post. Yeah, I want to do as little in the field as possible. I want it to be as flat and as much information as there as I can get it. So
yeah, it's interesting. Because I've been editing myself for years, and I use Final Cut, and the Final Cut has actually opened up. You brought up the third party. They actually have third party stuff you can do now.
They do now.
Graphics or something. It's called. I don't use Motion very often though, but I guess. So for Motion, that gives you the ability to like cut something in video and maneuver it, right? Or do something to it, Motion, or bring in like a graphic.
Apple Motion is the equivalent of Adobe After Effects. It's the same thing.
Got it.
Yeah, so you can go visual graphics. So.
I'm watching your video painting this deer's face at the same time. This is awesome.
It's mesmerizing. I love
it. It is. This is like a video. Like I this is like amazing video. Like it's just... Yeah. It looks so good. Like, holy cow, you really pulled this thing together.
You just kind of get hilarious. Caught wanting to see how it ends. And that we named that bus buck Ross. And Ross has done very well for me. So I'm very proud of him.
Yeah, it looks so good, dude. That's like before and after. Yeah, I'm definitely cutting this into this video. I'm like mesmerized, like I'm watching that Ross guy on TV, whatever his name is.
Bob Ross, yeah.
Bob Ross. I'm like watching him paint this thing's face.
That's partly the reason why we named him Ross. Ross, the boss.
So funny. Yeah, the hardest part about, like, I guess what's intriguing to me about it for, you know, your editing skills and stuff like that is when you edit like an actual hunting episode, I find that to be one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And I feel like when you're doing as many as you are and constantly telling the story, it's so hard to like do that, because like you need things, the B-roll specific, like, and if you're not filming it or you're not, you know, telling the guy like, hey, I need you to say this or that, you don't really get it. Then you're missing those things. And when you go to edit it, you're like, oh man, it'd been so cool if you just said, hey, we're crossing this bridge right now. Or, you know, hey, I just got this new bow. Right. I mean, so you can do something specific to make it a really cool story. That was one of the things I always struggle with hunting shows, like the hunting portion. The Tesla stuff I do is a lot easier. It's very cut and dry because it's just, you know, a product and this is what it does. And so to me, that's easier than telling a story. And, but that's the cool part. If you can do it, you know, it's definitely a valuable thing, because I think you need to draw people, right? And if people can feel the story, they're more likely going to share it or want to be a part of it.
Right. And that's actually, it's funny you kept saying, tell a story, tell a story, tell a story. But I've been preaching. I've been doing production for a while, I always tell the field producers that we got to tell a story. And if you were filming me, I would say the only you personally are the one telling the story, and the only way that you can tell it is with this camera. So whatever you show me as the editor and as the producer, that's the story I have to tell. It doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter if you know, it was raining all week and you guys, you know, slipped out there midday and got a buck killed. If you didn't film any freaking rain shots, if you didn't film any of this stuff, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's just a kill. If that's all, you know, if you just filmed a kill,
yeah.
Or if you had a buck in the brush and, you know, or if you passed up a big buck and you wish you didn't, and, you know, later you end up shooting them or whatever the story is. None of that matters if you didn't capture it or you didn't tell that story live. But what we do is we actually call our, what most people call our, you know, episodes, we call them stories. We call them full stories because that's what we're doing. We're telling stories. And if you go to our YouTube page, we have multiple full stories on there where they're anywhere between 40, well, really in between 20 minutes and 90 minutes. You know, and whatever the story dictates, the length be, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's so cool. I just, it's so hard to do that stuff. I'm gonna show you this video real quick because I'm interested to hear. I want to bring something up because I think it's hilarious. But right. Hold on one second, I'm gonna share my screen with you. I think I can do this one. Let me know when you can see this YouTube thing.
I got it.
All right, cool. So I just wanted to share this with you real quick. So I just filmed this today. Mm-hmm. And my question to you is, what camera do you think I was filming that in? This first part.
That part?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no telling, man. I can do some crazy stuff with my iPhone.
That's an iPhone.
Yeah.
Look how clear it is. I was like, dude, I'm like, really? And this is the camera where it's facing at you. It's not even the one that's the back camera.
Yeah,
and I was like, and I threw out, we were talking about earlier there, I threw a color correction over this to make it look a little nicer, but it was still filmed in the color, you know, I wasn't filming in LUT or anything, but, you know, I just couldn't believe, I was like, dang. And then you can see the differences, like when you watch this and you start to see like, all right, so like this camera is totally different camera. I don't even... Like all these cameras are like Panasonic, I think Sony, some of these over the years, because this video is a conglomerate of speed testing. And so, but I was thinking about that today because I filmed it and I thought, man, how did I hit that? Okay, I think I'm good. No, I think I'm good. All right. So I couldn't remember. I did that and I thought, it's quite amazing. The stuff you could do now with a phone that you couldn't do before with an iPhone 12 or 13. Like I was just thinking about it earlier and I film probably 80% of the clips I do are filmed with an iPhone nowadays. It's crazy because it's not on big TVs, you know?
Right. Right.
And there is a difference. I mean, I know there's a difference. Like even right now, this is a mirrorless DSLR, so you could tell the background's blurred out. You could tell, but in some cases, it's quite amazing what a phone can do, you know, from where we come from.
I have so much iPhone footage mixed into my episodes and stories for the last, I don't know, probably 10 years. I mean, probably even going back 10, maybe not 10 years, maybe 6 years. That you would never know what's what, to be totally honest, especially with this camera now. I got this is even an old camera now. It's like a 10 Pro or 11 Pro. I mean, you can do some, man, especially if you turn to 4K. 4K off of iPhone looks better than 1080 on one of my regular cameras.
Yeah, it's crazy. I just like, man, have you ever watched Ted Lasso?
Yeah, both seasons.
All right, so my question is, and I'm trying to pull this up so we can talk about it real quick.
It's very important.
This, you're going to find this interesting, and I think this is I'm trying to find this clip I was looking for. This guy, this is not the clip. All right, hold on a minute. I invested in a new keyboard, so I'm getting used to it. It doesn't make a lot of clicks like the old one, so I'm able to do more stuff with it now.
Nice.
I clicked the same video. Stupid. Come on, man. All right. This guy. All right. So the thing is this. You might have to go back. When I say this, you might not have realized this or thought about it, but you might have to go back and watch it, and then you tell me what you think. But this, so I've been watching the show with my wife, and we love it. It's so good. Yep. But this guy here, so this guy in the movie, see, this is hard because he, look at his complexion. It's like so good.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, in the show, when you're watching the show, and you're watching the movie, there's parts of him acting, he looks like he's CGI. He looks like he's not even real. And I don't know if it's because his complexion is so good or he really was CGI'd in for a little bit of the show. Because of maybe he wasn't there, or maybe, you know what I'm saying? But you have to rewatch season one, see if they show it here. Like parts of it. Like look at this motion. I don't know. This looks real right here to me now, but I don't know if sometimes they film in like these 8K cameras, right? That are so high end that it's almost like if you did have a good complexion like this guy, maybe it looks like it's fake, you know? I don't know.
Right.
This isn't selling me what I saw earlier. So just rewatch season one and just not the whole thing. Just look for him and just look for his parts. And you tell me if you think that there's some sort of trickery play going on. It looks like trickery when you see parts of you're like, really? His movements of his lips and his eyes, and it just doesn't look right. I don't know.
I'll go back and look. Yes.
Somebody even made comments like, I looked up and people were saying, like, is this the first CGI character like in a movie, like full CGI character that's not even there? Is this guy wearing a green screen that's standing next to these people and it's total CGI? And I don't know, but. When I saw the video, I told my wife, I don't think he's real right there. Like in other parts, he looks real, but not that part. And there was a couple. So I have a feeling, and I was telling her, like, maybe he couldn't, he's one of the writers, that guy, apparently. And maybe he couldn't make the first half of the filming for another movie or something. So they had to see, you know, who knows? It's definitely possible. I mean, these guys could do anything, dude.
They CGI'd a mustache out of Henry Cavill's face for Justice League. So, weird stuff, man.
Yeah, they don't mess around, dude. I wish I could do anything like that. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I don't know how they do. I don't even know the first way they would do something like that. Like, it's just incredible. And I think a little stuff, you think a little things like, I've had a friend who was doing editing in the industry, and he used to tell me, and I this is nothing I did, but he's telling me that he had to move shots on videos. I was like, what? Oh, God dang. I'm like, he's like, yeah, but he said, you could do that. He goes, it's not as hard as you think. And it's like, really? And he goes, shot by shot. He said it would be clip by clip, but you'd have to keep moving an item as the match. And I'm like, wow, I never even knew that was feasible or possible. But he said, when things happen in an instant like that, it's not going to be noticeable anyway if you just make a quick move or something. If it was like a liver shot and you want it to be a double lung, I don't know, whatever.
Some of the greatest I've ever made have been completely unnoticeable. Actually, the greatest things I've ever made have been unnoticeable. And I will not give them right now on this phone call.
Yeah, it's just crazy though. Like we had one a couple years back. I was like, I didn't know what to do with this. I ended up showing the footage anyway, because I didn't even know if I should show it, but basically we were filming and the hunter, he was shooting and the it was a small buck. He came in and it was like between his legs, but like 5 yards away. And so he drew back and he came up like this and he fired. But when he fired it, the cam hit his knee and it bounced the bow. And it hit the thing right in the temple.
Yep.
Like straight up arrow sticking out of the temple of this deer. It was crazy. And it was running into trees. I ended up putting it on YouTube. I thought they'd take it down or something, because it was pretty graphic, but they didn't. And I only left it just to show people like, hey, this can happen. I mean, this is real deal. I'm not faking anything here. This went down. This is what happened. We got the deer, so it worked out. But it was crazy, dude. How could it not even knock out the deer? That was nuts. Like
I see pictures of deer all the time on trail camera where they have an arrow sticking out of their nose and
crazy.
Yeah, I mean, well, they're tough animals, and there's a lot of things up there, especially on a deer, that is not going to kill it, but in the nature of it. Yeah. So.
I've seen so many deer live through so many shots, dude. I can't believe it. Yeah. I'm just like, I shot one deer. It was a beautiful deer I shot at. And I hit it, but I hit it bad, like a no zone shot or some shit. And literally saw the deer like 3 days later, like just seeing it out in the field, not even limping. You could see the mark too, where I hit it. I'm like, what? Yeah. With two binoculars, like this is insane.
Oh yeah. Dude. I shot three bow this year, three mature bucks. And I wounded another one. I shot it low. Unfortunately hit it in the brisket, never recovered it. So, you know, as far as like that goes, it's just kind of part of,
part of hunting.
Yeah. There's a lot of things.
What's your go-to broadhead?
Right now I'm shooting three blade muzzy. So I'm freaking, nice. That's my freaking go-to right there. I'm a simple man.
Yeah. Now I challenge you to check out the Muzzy One, because I've had huge success with that broadhead, dude. Solid piece of machinery.
Got it.
The Muzzy One is a solid one piece. It is the same concept as the Montech. One piece, but this one's a Muzzy instead of a G5. But it is. They sent me a couple packs, and I killed two deer in 1 year with it, and it was like, one was with a crossbow, and I shot this deer at 46 yards. I'm not exaggerating. It went through the shoulder, through the heart, and into the ground. I was like, whoa. And it was dead straight because it had a Luminoc on the back. I could see the trail, and it was just literally like a laser. It was just like zoom. Right. And then later in the year, I ended up shooting one of my biggest bucks I've shot, actually double lunged it with that. It went right through it, died like 30 yards away. It was the best. I'm like, dude. Right. Like, so I stopped using it only because we have like five broadhead supporters of our show. So I try to pick between those guys every time I go out. But if I was going to select a head that I was going to stick with, it would definitely be a Muzzy One for sure. After seeing that, you know,
if you shoot an animal in the right spot, you can do it with the sharp rod. We know this.
Agreed.
You know, if you get them in the right spot. So if you want to make a bad shot on the animal, if I was going to make a bad shot on the animal, I would hope I have a big old mechanical one there with a 2.5-inch cut. Yeah. If I'm wanting and this is all my personal opinion, by the way, I'm wanting something I can shoot out there at 50, 60 yards. If I have to, I want a, what was that?
Just lost your video for a second.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
my phone. Ready to die. If I'm wanting performance, I'm going for a fixed blade broadhead. That's my personal preference. Old school. I want razors on the front that if it's going to hit, it's gonna, so it ain't going to come open.
Yeah, it's crazy the amount of heads are out there and the options. And it's been fun. We play around with all of them, but like, you know, I can't say I've shot deer with every single one. You know, I wish I had more experience with some of them in the field, but we'll see. I do try to take a new head every once in a while when I go out. You know, give it a couple times. I've been playing around a lot with the Thorn broadheads, the Crown, which is a vicious looking head. We had one guy shoot a deer with it. It just crushed it. It's so, so vicious. There's so many. It looks like a rose bush. That's how many cuts there are on it. It's called the Thorn Crown. And it's gotten, we posted some TikTok videos on it and it went ballistic. The videos, because people haven't seen it and they're like, what is this? You know what, you know? So. Yeah. Yeah, pretty cool, man. Yeah, check that one out when you get time. It's pretty neat. I was like, wow, that thing. Vicious. So have you moved over to TikTok yet?
I have a TikTok, but I kept getting mad at them because I kept taking my videos down. So
yeah. See, it's hard for you because if you show kill shots, you get pulled.
Yeah, man. Like the good stuff that I do is, you know, it involves a dead animal or at least a shot.
I'll tell you right now, you should put that face painting on there. I think people like that one.
Oh, my face paint or the deer?
The deer you did in that video. Oh, yeah. That's a good cut.
That's a good idea. You know what?
They love things like that. Yeah, TikTok's the kind of concept that's quick. You know, you want to fast forward it, obviously, but like you know, that kind of quick publicity works really well on that platform.
I mean, everyone I know is on TikTok. I like TikTok. I like to be stupid and funny and, you know, like my brain works for TikTok, but.
All right, guys, we're back with Brandon. We actually lost connection. So we just came back. That's the reason the background behind him is dark now. So let's be clear about that. So you're not like, what the hell just happened?
Oh, sorry.
It happens. So Brandon, I only got really one more big question for you, and that is, how the heck do you have that much hair? That's all I want to know.
This, oh, I wish. I don't know. I guess my. Oh, I don't know how old he is. He's getting up there in his 50s or getting closer to the 60s, I reckon. But he's got a nice full head of hair. Most of my family do. So got lucky. I don't have any hair. Man. See this? I got like 7 hairs. So that's it.
Yeah, it's one thing I do have too much of is a beard. When I just shaved this baby, it was pretty far down. And I was like, man, I like it, but like, there's something weird about rubbing my fingers through it. And it was so thick and luscious that it was like your head was my chin.
No, I don't know, man. Just hit the lottery there, and then hit the lottery in the negative way with my face. That's it.
Brandon Adams, thanks, man, for joining me. I appreciate it tonight, and looking forward to all the great content you've been putting out. And next time we do this, maybe we'll do a live version on Insta or TikTok or something fun that we can do some Q&A's or something fun. You know what I mean?
Good. We'll make sure that I'm in a place with a charged cell phone at the time.
All right, man. We'll see you. Thank you so much.
I appreciate the invite. See you, Dave.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.